Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I'm going to read a passage of Scripture from 1 Timothy chapter 6. I've entitled this message, A Good Foundation. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 17, Paul says to Timothy, Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us all things richly to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, if you had never heard the gospel before, and if you'd never read other parts of the Scripture, and this is the Scripture that you heard, what would you say a good foundation is? Now, if all I had was this passage of Scripture, and I didn't have the rest of the Bible, I would think a good foundation is found in my good works, in my willingness to distribute, the good things I do, laying up for themselves in store a good foundation. That's what it says. Laying up for themselves in store a good foundation. Now that shows how dangerous this book is. You can pull a verse of Scripture out of context and teach anything you want. Did you know that? You can prove anything from the Bible if you don't look at it in terms of the whole book. If you just pull a Scripture out of context. I remember hearing a preacher once say, salvation is not all of grace because of Philippians 2:12, where it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. That lets you know that it's not all of grace, but they don't go on to continue to read, for it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. I don't know how many times I've heard people quote James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. You're not saved by faith only, but you got to have works too. Look at what James chapter 2 says, and we're going to look at that in a moment. But here's Paul's statement, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation when he's talking about their works against the time to come, talking about judgment day, that they may lay hold upon eternal life. Now, I want to read a verse of Scripture from Revelation chapter 19. Verse 8 says, And to her, the Lamb's wife. Well, let me begin reading verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now that's the King James Version. But if you had a New International Version, you would read that the fine linen, clean and white, is the righteous acts of the saints, the righteous deeds of the saints. One of the reasons I love the King James Version, that's all I read, is because these other versions, like the International Version, really, I'm not saying that I think the King James Version is inspired. I think the original is inspired. But I think the King James Version is honest to the original. Like, that translation of that verse is horrible. Do you have any works and acts at all that you would consider fine linen, clean and white? Well, if you do, you're deceived. You see, the righteousness of the saints, the fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the saints, is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love His name, Jehovah Tsidkenu. This is the name wherewith He shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And instead of the church, this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. There's only one righteousness. Paul said in Philippians 3:8-9, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, there is only one foundation of salvation, and that is the person and work of Christ. And we didn't lay that foundation. God did. We didn't build this foundation. God did. And if we're on this foundation, it's because He put us on this foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, we read, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth on Him shall not make haste. Now, I love those words to describe the foundation. Tried. Proven. Proven. Precious. Oh, the preciousness of being saved by Christ. And sure. This foundation is sure. I love what David said in 2 Samuel 23:5. Right before he died, he said, although my house be not so with God, yet hath He made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. And this is all my salvation, and all my desire, though He maketh it not to grow. This is the sure foundation. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. My foundation is Christ Jesus. My foundation is that all that God requires of me, He looks to Christ for. What a sure foundation that is. So, that being the case, what does Paul mean when he says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold upon eternal life? Now, there are a lot of scriptures that give us some light as to what this means. But the first one I want to quote is Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. And this is speaking of the death of the believer. It says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may have rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Not blessed just are the dead, but are the dead that die in the Lord. You know, they have rest from their labors. Now, that doesn't mean they're doing all this work for Christ and now they get to rest from it. This rest from labors is speaking of this struggle with sin. Same word is used when the Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden with a burden of sin. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the rest of believing. And the Scripture says, their works do follow them. Now notice where their works came in. Not in front of them as the cause of their salvation. Not beside them as a condition they met in order to be saved. But behind them, following them, works that gave evidence that they were in fact on the foundation. Now there's many scriptures that speak of this. In Matthew chapter 25. I think of that great chapter our Lord gives regarding judgment day. In verse 31, He says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them, one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit, not earn, but inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This was prepared for you before time ever began. You know, Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, He saved us and He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Everything the believer has was given to him before the world began because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says, inherit this kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But look what he says next. For I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, Lord, when did we do these things? We're not even aware of it. We didn't know we did anything. When? When saw we thee a stranger and naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it to one of thee, least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. The evidence that they had had salvation prepared for them from the foundation of the world was seen in the way they treated the brethren. This also shows the union of Christ and the believer. If you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. It was their works that gave evidence. And when he talked about the goats and he told them to depart, they didn't do these things. Now, what I think is very interesting about this, the ones who did do them didn't know they'd done them. And the ones who didn't do it thought they had. Now, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture from James chapter 2. This is a passage of Scripture that many people go to prove salvation by faith and works. But let's read it. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. James says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him if he doesn't have any works? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? If you don't give them anything, but just say, be warm and filled, it didn't do them any good. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. You believe accurate doctrine, well, so the devil does as well. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And now he gives us the example of Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, do you remember the story? God had made a promise to Abraham that he was going to have a son. And he had a son by the name of Isaac. And God said that in this son, this seed, shall all the earth be blessed. This is the seed that the Messiah would come through. And that was God's promise to Abraham. You're going to have a son. And through that son's seed, the Messiah will come. Now, Abraham believed God. Then God said, Abraham, take your son and kill him and offer him up as a burnt offering to me on a mountain that I'll show you. And you know what Abraham did? He rose up, took his son, went to that place, tied him up, and raised the knife to kill him. In his mind, that boy was already dead. Now, what if Abraham would have said, I can't kill him because God made that promise that the Messiah would come through him. And if I do that, that'll mess up God's promise and it won't come to pass. All that Abraham would have proven by that is that he didn't really believe God. But Hebrews 11 tells us that he believed that even though he slew his son, God would raise him from the dead because God had promised that the Messiah would come through that boy. Abraham believed God. And what proved he believed God? His works. The fact that he was going to kill his son, believing that God would end up raising him from the dead. Because God's promise must come to pass. It was his works that made his faith complete. Now, there will be works that give evidence that you were on the foundation and that I was on the foundation. There will be works that will follow us. Now, somebody says, I'm not sure if I see any works that give me any assurance. Well, I'm glad you feel that way. But if you're a believer, other people will see it. And they will see those works. I don't want to be someone who's barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be one of those people who, when they die, you think, well, I hope they were saved, but you sure couldn't tell by the way they lived. I don't want to be somebody like that. I want to be somebody like Abraham, who his life gave evidence that he was a child of God. Now, let's go back to that passage of Scripture that I initially read in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and see what Paul meant. He says in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Charge them that are rich in this world. Now, I dare say most of us don't consider ourselves rich, but here in the United States of America, at any rate, compared to third world countries, we're very rich. All of us are. So just take this as you. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, arrogant, pretentious, condescending. You know, the more money people have, the more important they think they are, generally speaking. People make an idol out of money, and they think they're somebody, they got some power, they got some importance because of the money they have. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, thinking they're something that they're not. In this same chapter, Paul said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content, satisfied. If I have food and clothing, and I think more than anything else, it's talking about Christ as our food and Christ as our clothing. But it's also talking about literal food and clothing. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after, and they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. You know, there's humility is so beautiful. Humility, I love to see a humble rich person or a humble middle-class person or a humble poor person because humility is beautiful. And arrogance and pride and high-mindedness is ugly, whether it's in the rich, in the middle class, or the poor. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. You know, riches are so uncertain. I think of what our Lord said of that rich fool. So, take thine ease. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Now, don't trust in uncertain riches. And as far as that goes, don't put your hope on anything that's not certain. Let me tell you what's certain. Grace is certain. The grace, the saving grace of God. There's no miscarrying. Everybody that is saved by the grace of God is saved. Saving grace. By grace are you saved. Through faith. And that, even that faith, it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace is certain. The Bible is certain. This book is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. If we don't have that, we don't have anything. My opinion or your opinion. And what's that worth? Nothing. Thank God He's given us a revelation of Himself. The Bible is certain. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. Christ, being saved by Him, having His righteousness, that's certain. That's trusting in something that's certain and something that is sure. Don't trust in uncertain riches. Let me quote this scripture. And this is what I'm banking on. This is what I'm relying on. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, He saved us. And that's what I'm relying on, that He did it all. He saved us. And He called us with a holy calling. Now, what came first, the saving or the calling? It says He saved us and He called us. When was I saved? Before the foundation of the world. When Christ died on Calvary's tree, He saved us and He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, our sure and only foundation of hope is Christ Himself. I'm not trusting in uncertain riches, but Christ Himself. I'm trusting on His person being able to save me with no contribution from me. That He is able to save me. I'm trusting His life as my righteousness before God. I'm trusting His death as my sin payment. I'm trusting His resurrection as God's complete acceptance of me. When He was raised from the dead, God said, I'm satisfied with Him and everybody He represented. I'm trusting His intercession, representing me as my great high priest. That's why I'll continue in the faith, grounded and settled. I'm trusting Him. I'm not looking to my works. I better not be. I'm trusting Him only. He only is certain. He said, tell them that they don't trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God. The living God. I don't say God's alive. I say God is life. He's life. He's the utterly independent living God who has no needs. Tell them to trust in the living God, the one who gives us richly all things to enjoy. The Lord is so good. The goodness of God. Now, I know that we can make a mess of our lives by our sin. There's no doubt about it. But God is so good. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. Material things are a blessing when we don't make an idol of them. Food. What a blessing it is to eat good food. I love good food. What a blessing a family is. People who love you. What a blessing a true friendship is, where you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother that's there for you. What a all the blessings of life. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. Now, an unthankful attitude of murmuring and so on is so ugly, but what a blessing it is for someone who just enjoys, humbly enjoys what the Lord has given them. He's given us richly all things to enjoy. And then He says in verse 18 that they do good. Charge them to do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Tell them that they be rich, not merely in money, but in good works, works of mercy, works of forgiveness, works of doing good, ready to impart generosity. Freely you've received, freely give. You know, if the Lord has done something for you, it'll make you generous. Rich in good works. Willing to distribute. Willing to do whatever He would have you do. That's what happens when the Lord saves somebody. They have a new nature. They have a nature that wants to honor the Lord. Now, He says to do these things, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time, these works that give evidence that He'd done something for them, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And notice, it doesn't say these good works will give them eternal life. But He does say these good works are evidences that the Lord has done something for them and that they lay hold upon eternal life. Now, eternal life is the life of God in the soul of a man. It's the capacity to have fellowship and communion with the living God, where I hear His voice. Not audibly, but I hear His voice in His Word. I hear His voice in this world. The creation speaks of His glory. I hear His voice in the gospel when He says, come unto me. And He hears my voice. When I call upon Him, He hears. When I pray, He hears. That's true of every child of God. They have eternal life, the life of God in the soul of man. Now, how does one have this eternal life? Well, first, God's got to purpose it for you. In Acts chapter 13, Luke tells us that as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. The only folks who had eternal life were the ones who were ordained to eternal life. Eternal life has something to do with being God's gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life has something to do with hearing Christ's voice. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Somebody says, do you believe in the eternal security of the believer? Of course I do. The Lord said, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Eternal life has something to do with faith. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life has something to do with knowing God in Christ. The Lord said in John 17, 2 and 3, thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given Him. And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Paul says, lay hold on eternal life. Now you see it's the gift of God. You see it's not something you can produce, but you want it. You want. Do you want eternal life? How does someone lay hold upon eternal life? By believing the gospel. If you're drowning and somebody throws you out a rope, you seize it. You seize it because you know if you don't have it, you'll drown. You don't ask, well, what's it mean to seize it? No, you just seize it because you need it. Do you need the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what I'm asking you. Do you need the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you need His righteousness? Do you need Him to represent you before the Father in judgment? Then lay hold. Believe the gospel. That's God's command to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Not that I did choose Thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.